I'm glad if you live by it, you can leave by it. Thank God there is a better day coming. If you got a Bible with you this morning, turn with us to 2 Samuel 6. I got a lot of preaching to get done today. I'd ask you to pray for me, and I would appreciate it very much. 2 Samuel chapter number 6. We've been dealing with a thought on some Bible windows throughout the Scripture. It's so amazing of what God has done through those windows. And we had dealt with that first window. And there was Eutychus. We've seen him sleeping in the window. God's used windows in many lives. Don't go to sleep in your window. Do something for the honor and the glory of God. Matter of fact, Brother Carey, he is in the third loft window by Paul's long preaching. So that's maybe where I got some of my long preaching from, is Paul. But he fell out. They took him up dead. Paul came and fell down on him. Boy, wouldn't that be a blessing if we could have the heart of that New Testament church? When folks fall out the window, we don't keep kicking on them or shoot them, but we pick them up, bring them back in the house of God and love on them. And secondly, we've seen Joash. He was shooting out the window. Elisha was dying and he charged him. Elisha had such a burden for a generation to come along behind him. He simply asked the king to shoot out the window. Give it your best shot, mom and daddies. Do everything you do for the honor and the glory of God. You'll wake up one day and you'll be my age and you'll wonder how in the world you got there. And so we've seen one sitting in the window, one shooting out the window. And then my stars, we dealt with Rahab the harlot. We've seen that scarlet line in the window, or salvation in the window. I'm glad Jesus still saves sinners. And then last week we dealt with Noah's window, had to do with sanctification in the window. God only gave him one window in the whole ark, and it was in the top. Teaches us, even though we're saved and we're in the ark of the Lord Jesus Christ, He is our safety, we must always look up for our sanctification of how to live right and what to do. But this morning, we're going to deal with another Bible window. I'm going to read a verse, let you be seated, give you some background. The Bible said in 2 Samuel chapter number 6, "And the ark, and as the ark of the Lord came in the city of David, Michal, Saul's daughter, looked through a window, and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, and she despised him in her heart." You can be seated this morning. Father, we love you. We thank you for this time together today and your goodness and mercy and how good you've been. Thank you for it. Thank you for the songs that sung. Now, Lord, I've tried to prepare myself in this text, and I'm weak in body. God, I need you to help me this morning to be a blessing to your people. Do that only what you can do through the Word of God today. Help all these activities that's coming in this next week and help us. And God, as Brother Chris Truitt, so we have a memorial service for him here Tuesday evening for his wife. I pray you'd bless Brother Chris and help him and touch him. Help us now. We love you. Thank you for the people of God today and their kindness. Thank you for traveling safety this week. Thank you, God, for being good to us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Has God been good to anybody this morning? Has God been good to anybody? Now, I want you to notice in this text, there's a window open. The Bible says it was Saul's daughter, Michal. What many of you may not know is that she married King David when they were young. The ark is missing, the presence of God. David goes and he gets it. And David is caught away without how good God has been. He goes to dancing, throwing his hands up. And so we see Michal now, his wife, she's looking out of the window and she despised him in her heart. And I want to preach as David was worshiping out of the window. This is what I want to deal with about this Bible window this morning. There's the spectator at the window. The spectator at the window. She's looking at somebody that's worshiping, but she's not getting in on it. I've seen a lot of people that way through the years that see people worship our great God and they look like a calf at a new gate. Can I tell you, it's still right to worship God in spirit and in truth. And so you ought to not be a spectator in worship. You ought to get in on it and enjoy the goodness of God. Now let's watch the story. It's so historical, it's amazing. This is what I wished every man in this building would do this week, someplace, somewhere. Would you read 1 Samuel from the beginning to the end? And I want you to look at what the psalmist David went through to get to where I'm preaching. It's amazing what happened in 1 Samuel. It's just amazing. And I want to challenge you to read that. But now we pick it up now. Let's go. 2 Samuel 6, verse 1. Again, David gathered together all the chosen men of Israel, 30,000. That sounds pretty good, don't it? 30,000 men David gets together. What's he going to do? Well, he arose and he went with all the people that were with him from Baal of Judah to bring up from thence the ark of God, whose name is called by the name of the Lord of hosts that dwelleth between the cherubims. So first of all, I want us to see, by way of outline, there is a removal. The presence of God has been missing in the nation of Israel for some 70 years. You that don't understand, the ark was always put in the tabernacle, and that's where God met with His people. The ark was a very small chest-like container. It was 45 inches long. It was 27 inches wide. And it was 27 inches tall. And there it was overlaid with gold. Up on top it had a mercy seat. And it had cherubims pointing to one another. And as they would go in and worship that great high priest, they would go in and God would descend and God would meet with these people. So the ark simply means this. It is the presence of God. And now Israel has went 70 years. I want to remind you that Saul was king. Oh, he was a man that had a very bad spirit about him. David was raised up under him. David killed the giant. And Saul comes to him and offers to him his oldest daughter. But then Saul takes, instead of giving him his oldest daughter, he gives her away after he promised to give her to David. And then the Bible said that Michal loved David. And so the king gave her to David in marriage. And so David, the little shepherd boy, became the son-in-law of King Saul. The prophet in those days was Solomon. Now I want to ask you something. Why would a king, why would a prophet, why would the priest of all the nation of Israel that they'd seen God minister, God had operated above this ark, the presence of God would move on them in the camp, but yet it got stolen away by the Philistines. The Philistines had a battle, and they seen that the ark did something for the nation of Israel. So Brother Tim, they got a plan. They came in and fought the children of Israel, defeated them, and they took the ark back with them with the Philistines. That's where we are now in the story, and it's been missing now for 70 years. Can you imagine living in a nation? Can you imagine trying to live a lifestyle 70 years without the presence of God? Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you why we've got Liberty Baptist Church established. Let me tell you why it's here this morning. It's not here to be a fan club. It's not here to do this and that. It's here for one thing, that the presence of God would be known. And if we've ever lived in a day and an hour where the presence of God needs to be about our people and our generation, it is this day and this hour. So we see this removal. The ark is gone. The presence of God is gone. The ark had been absent from the center of Israel's worship for decades. The nation had learned to live without the symbol of God's presence. And I'm afraid this morning America is doing just like Israel did. They're learning to live without the symbol of God's presence. And then it's possible to be accustomed to spiritual absence. Saul never went to get it, is what David said. Wouldn't that be something, a king that's trying to make decisions, a king that's facing so many obstacles and opportunities, tried to do it without the presence of God? Folks, we need the Lord to lead us in every direction this morning. And so it's possible to be accustomed to the absence of the Spirit. And then a generation, listen to me, a generation can exist with religion while missing God's presence, but it's not effective. We need God's presence upon us. I love it when God meets with us. And so here there is a removal. The ark was gone. Many churches continue today their programs while the manifesting presence and power of God is missing, and many don't even know it. It's amazing. Of course, I get around and about, and I'm not a judge and not jury. I'm only accountable for Liberty Baptist Church. But it's sad what's going on, what people call church, and the presence of God is no place. You say, how do you know the presence of God ain't there, preacher? Because when you're going against this Bible, the presence of God cannot be there. And I want to say this morning, oh, there was a removal of the presence of God. But secondly, David gets this idea that was right. And can I tell you, you can do right things the wrong way. And I'm going to show you what he did. That's not only a removal, but now it's a return. Look what he does. Verse 2. In verse 1, very instructive. He gathered together all the chosen men of Israel, 30,000. And he arose and went with all the people that were with him from Baal of Judah to bring up from thence the ark of God, whose name is called the name of the Lord of hosts that dwelleth between the cherubims. And they set the ark of God on a new cart and brought it out of the house of Abinadab, and was in Gibeah, and Uzay, and Ahoah, the sons of Abinadab, drave the new cart. They brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was at Gibeah, accompanying the ark of God. And Ahio went before the ark. And David and all the house of Israel played before the Lord on all manner of instruments, made of fir wood, even on harps and on psalteries and on timbrels and on cornets and on cymbals. So we see this return. David goes after it. But something happens. Look what happens. And when they came to Nacon's threshing floor, in verse 6, Uzay put forth his hand to the ark of God and took hold of it, for the oxen shook it. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzay, and God smote him there for his error, and there he died by the ark of God. And David was displeased because the Lord had made a breach upon Uzay. He called the name of the place Per-Uzay to this day. Now, verse 9, and David was afraid of the Lord that day and said, how shall the ark come to me? So David would not remove the ark of the Lord unto him in the city of David, but he carried it aside in the house of Obedom the Gittite. This is what I want to tell you today. Not only is there a removal, God's presence has been gone, but now there is a return. David sees that God needs to be in the midst. But he has the right idea, but he goes about it the wrong way. The Bible tells us how the ark was to be carried around. It was to be shouldered upon the Levitical priesthood. This ark had four rings, one on each corner. They had to make wooden poles or staves of that shittim wood. And they would pick it up, and these priests would carry it upon their shoulders. Well, what has happened here on this return, they put it on a new cart. Instead of David reading his Bible and doing what God told him to do, to go get the Levitical priesthood, we know where the ark is. Let's go get it. Let's come bring it back in the center of the camp. They put it on a new cart. They adopted the mannerisms of the Philistines. And if we've ever lived in a day and a world where the church has adopted the ways of the world to try to have church, they put it on a new cart. And I want you to notice, God was not pleased with it. God smote a man in the way. Now, why did he smite, you say? Well, he reached and he touched that ark. You see, God is holy. That was the presence of God. Well, let me ask you this. Why didn't it kill all the Philistines? Well, it gave them a lot of problems. When they went and got the ark from Israel and took it back home, they put it in the house of Dagon, the temple. They were idol worshipers. They came in one morning and their god Dagon was fell to his face. They set Dagon back up that day and they put the presence of God, left him in there, come back the next morning, and he had fell The palms of his hands was gone and his head was gone. And you know what that lets us know? When God is around, idolatry will fall. We sure do need the Lord. There's no God like our God. So you know what the Philistines said? Hey, we don't want this. We're going to take it back. Well, why didn't God kill them when they touched it? Because God's people are supposed to know better. You see, you and I, the called out ones, the church, we should know better of what to do. And God holds us to a high standard of how we handle His holiness. The house of God is special. It is a holy place. It's a place where we come together and we worship. Now this new car, now they copied the world's methods. It should have been shouldered and carried. David knew better. Matter of fact, this is something you'll find studying your Bible. It's sort of like a parallel gospel. But in the book of Samuel, then you'll have the book of Chronicles, and they sort of go along beside. And in Samuel, you'll simply tells us what went wrong. But now in Chronicles, it will tell you what they did right. Worship was back established. Now they're carrying it on the priesthood shoulders. They're carrying the glory and the power and the presence of God the way God said, do it. But here, David goes to the men instead of God. Ain't that just like us? Why don't we go to God with our issues and ask Him what we need and let Him give us direction? Thank God for people that helps us. But David decides he would do it like the Philistines did and put it on a new cart. They copied the world's methods. It's dangerous when God's people borrow methods from the world instead of following God's world. And you know, note, good intentions never replace biblical instruction. Good intention never ever replaces biblical instruction. That's why we have a Bible. That's why we need to study our Bible and know our Bible. God is looking for obedience, not innovation. Thank God for air conditioning. Thank God. Man, I had a little blood sugar spare up a while ago, and I went to Fanny. I seen Christy a Fanny. You got blood sugar going on too. But anyway, thank God for the amenities. Thank God for a nice place to go to church. But God never intended for the church to become a place of marketing and schemes where it would sell out God and put a price on God. They're doing everything to try to fill the churches up. What happened to the hunger of God's people? Just wanted old-time worship, old-time preaching, old-time praying, and old-time singing. Somebody said, you can't build a church like that. Honey, we've been trying a long time, and I done gone way too far to stop now. I'm not letting it get like the world around here. And so they put it on a new cart. New cart. What would a new cart be in our day and hour? Replace prayer with strategy. Oh, I know how we can. And I'm not against doing things and letting people know what's happening. But let me tell you something. We should not be marketeers. We should be Christians. And here, the new cart, many have replaced prayer with strategy. Secondly, I really want to nail this, they've replaced preaching with entertainment. Why is it in this generation, you young people may tell me, why will young people pack out a coliseum to a country music singer and drive 2 and 3 hours and pay $1,000 for a ticket, but preaching don't do nothing for them? Tell me why people are so amused with things of the world and entertainment. Well, a lot of churches you walk in today, the lights go out, the drums go to beating. I mean, you think you had a nightclub. Brother Gary, I think the Eagles are going to go play in any minute. I go to tapping my foot on the ground. God's house ought to look like God's house. Why don't preaching excite you anymore? Well, why don't you love God the way that we ought to love God? Why don't I love God the way I ought to love God? The church has turned to entertainment. The church is turned into a spectacle. God simply gave us the method. I've heard men tell me years ago, look, preacher, the message ain't changed, the method's only changed. God said don't mess with the method. He chose the foolishness of preaching to save those that believe. The return, the new cart, replaced preaching with entertainment. Boy, we're a fast-paced society. We're all caught up in entertainment, love entertainment. Matter of fact, Americans love entertainment so much, if we took this Bible today and put it right here on the screen this morning, and we put everybody's cell phones beside it, I wonder what the time would be that you spend in your Bible according to your cell phone this week. We love entertainment. The flesh loves entertainment. But I want to say David went after it the wrong way. The new cart. It's dangerous when God's people borrow methods from the world instead of following the Word of God. God's looking for obedience, not innovation. Another thing, the cart is a lot easier than carrying the ark on the shoulders. Men shared that burden. Let me tell you something. When a man really studies the Word of God and labors to bring a message, you ought to appreciate it, because it's a heavy burden that he's carrying. You see, this is not something that I've chose to do. This is something I've been called to do, and my heart's in it. And many of you the same way. We got to realize the cart is so easy, but God wants us to carry the weight of it on our shoulders. Everything looked successful till they reached the threshing floor. Everything looked good till they hit a hard place. And you know something? You can say what all you want to say. I don't care what you talk about me after the service. But I want to say this. There's going to come a time in your life, and a time, many times, and so many of these congregations, they've built it on charisma. They built it in marketing and showmanship. But when the rubber hits the road, and young families, when you lose a child, or your wife or husband walks out on you, or you lose your job, or you've lost your families in dire circumstances, it hits a rough place. You better know what the Word of God is, and the presence of God around you is the only way you're going to make it through it. A light show ain't going to help you. A dog and pony show ain't going to help you. We need the Word of God. And so here we find this window of a spectator. Now, I hurriedly along. The removal and the return. Everything looked real successful till they reached the threshing floor as a rough place. And, you know, I want to read this to you in 1 Chronicles 15:13, and I'm about done preaching. David later admits his mistake, and I want you to listen to it. In 1 Chronicles 15:13, I want you to see what David said about this, what happened. 1 Chronicles 15:13. For because ye did it not at the first, the Lord our God made a breach upon us. For we sought him not out after due order. David admits his mistake. Verse 14, so the priests and the Levites sanctified themselves to bring up the ark of the Lord God of Israel, and the children of the Levites bear the ark of God upon their shoulders with the staves thereof, as Moses commanded according to the word of the Lord. In other words, he said, you know, fellas, I was wrong. I knew how to go get God. But I asked all of y'all, 30,000 of you, to go down there and get it and bring it back, put it on a new cart. It looked real good when we was coming to the house, but when we hit a hard place, it all crashed. And so there is no doubt the missing of the presence. We listed as the removal, now as the return. But now, go back to that text. I'm going to close. Look at this report. I love what happens to David. And I want you to notice what he does. the report. Go back with us to 2 Samuel 6 and verse number 12. Now notice in 11, when Uzzah died, David carried it aside in the house of Obedon the Gittite. You know what David did? He threw his hands down. He said, look, I don't understand this. I don't know why God has done this. I don't know why it's a breach upon us. But David sat back, and you'll notice in your Bible there that David sat back and he allowed the ark to stay there, and he was trying to figure out why God was not pleased with it. And the Bible said in verse number 11, the ark of the Lord continued in the house of Obedon the Gittite 3 months. And the Lord blessed Obedon and all his household. Now the report. First of all, there's a telling. Uzziah died. But then secondly, there's a trembling. David feared the Lord in verse 9. This is what I want you to see. The testimony in verse 10. David threw his hands down, and for 3 months he left it on the side of the road, and they pulled it over there in the house of Obedon, and it come back to David and said, hey, have you heard about Obedon's house? Have you heard about how God has blessed everything he's got, all of his children? Have you noticed when you walk by his pastures where his cattle and sheep are grazing, he's got tall green pasture? Have you noticed how pretty his yard looks? Have you noticed how well-kept his kids are? Have you noticed how they bow their heads and pray at their meals down at the Taco Bell? There's just something about Obedon's house that has happened. Let me tell you something, honey. When God moved into Obedon's house, it's like my house. He turned his world upside down, and God is still in the blessing business. You need God down in your house and my house. We need the presence of God like we've never needed him before. What a testimony. I love to hear where God's blessing people. Some folks can't stand for others to be blessed. Brother David Shaddix told me 30-something years ago, he said, preacher, you always remember this, everybody can't enjoy your blessing. Brother David, I soon found that out. But let me tell you something. God will bless you if you serve him. You'll have things money cannot buy. I'm not promising you health and wealth. All through our Bible, people that served God. Look at Noah last week. There was nobody like him. He's the most righteous man. He went through a storm for over a year. But God seen about him. He had a window up above to look out at. And I want to say today, when they heard the testimony from Obedon's house, it stirred David's heart. You know what David did? Look what he does now. So the Bible said, so verse 12, so David went and brought up the ark of God from the house of Obedon into the city of David with gladness. Look what they do, church. And it was so that when they that bear the ark of the Lord had gone 6 paces, he sacrificed oxen and fatlings. And David danced before the Lord with all his might, and David was girded with a linen ephod. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of a trumpet. So now we see not only a report, but we see revival. Obedience restored joy. God's blessings encouraged and renewed people's faith to be obedient. In other words, David heard about how God was blessing through the testimony of Obedon, and David said, I want that down my house. Joy returns when obedience returns. David is no longer concerned about appearances. He's overwhelmed by privileges. He's coming back in town with the presence of God, and he's a having a time. The Bible said that he danced. He said he had people with him. They bear the ark of the Lord, gone 6 paces. He sacrificed oxen. He danced with all his might. And David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord. Look what they did. It was shouting and with the sound of the trumpet. People, don't let a little shouting in church tear your nerves up. You know, when we go to heaven, it ain't going to be a quiet side and a loud side. You better go to getting used to a little noise and some worship. And so this revival came, but now Look at this. I close it in verse 16. Look at the resentment. Everybody's not going to enjoy you loving Jesus. Everybody's not going to applaud you worshiping God. And as the ark of the Lord came in the city of David, Michal, Saul's daughter. Isn't it amazing there he didn't say David's wife, but he referred to her as Saul's daughter. Looked through a window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, and she despised him in her heart. A resentment. She's the only one in the whole chapter that's not celebrating. It shows us it's possible to watch worship but never enter into it. I want to encourage you to enter into it this morning. I want to encourage you to realize how good God has been to you and be thankful to Him. I want to encourage all you young families, upon the first day of the week, on the Lord's Day on Sunday, you ought to gather yourselves together in a Bible preaching church and worship God in spirit and in truth. That's what the Bible instructs us to do. And God will bless you. God will do things for you that money cannot buy. I'm glad I know something about His presence. But lastly, watch this nugget, and I'm done. The resentment. Verse 23, look at the results. Look what happens to Michal. The Bible said, therefore, Michal, the daughter of Saul, had no child until the day of her death. What's the spiritual application there, Pastor? A critical spirit produces spiritual barrenness. Those who continually spectate rather than participate seldom bear fruit. Can I say that again? Those who continually spectate rather than participate seldom bear fruit. Be a fruit bearer for the Lord Jesus Christ. Let your light shine. Be the salt of the earth. Contempt for genuine worship leaves a person empty. Do you know what David did? David said, God, you've been good to me. And I'm going to get Miss Jennifer to come. I want you to play this morning. Wouldn't it be amazing, and you that are older and understand the Bible, why? How did they make it 70 years without the presence of God? Sophie and Grace, y'all going to be in high school this year, freshmen's going in school. I'm 65 years old, y'all are 15 years old. I wonder what's going to happen if the Lord tarries His coming and in 50 years, y'all are 65. I wonder, will the presence of God be in this community? Could you imagine trying to go through life, Brother David, without the presence of God? Why is this church so important, Jared? Because life's hard, son. I'm going to meet with a man right here, one of the best employees I ever had at Pepsi-Cola, one of the dearest friends. He's come to this church. His wife passed this weekend. Chris going to walk in that side door with his family here at 4:30 Tuesday evening. He needs ministered to. They've called, wanted this property to do car shows. I said, we're not in the car show business. This is house, the house of God. Keeping it old-fashioned. You say, why you like old-fashioned? Because God's old-fashioned. I ain't getting a new car. Putting God on it. Try to ride Him around. But maybe we bear Him. Lift Him up. Come under the load of a burden. Preach the glorious gospel. By the way, there's still a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. There's one way, young people, to heaven. He's the Lord Jesus Christ. We're saved by grace through faith. That's the only way. And I don't care what new schematics and new doctrines come out, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And at Liberty Baptist Church, we ought to thank God that we can experience His presence. We ought to be like David, not care who's around. We ought to enjoy the goodness of God. It's still right to say amen. Somebody say amen this morning. Still right to raise our hand and say thank you. Thank you how good you are. Thank you for what you've given me. Thank you for the opportunities that you've allowed me to have. Thank you for my babies. He deserves our praise this morning. She's going to play. I'm going to open this off. Maybe you want to come talk to the Lord this morning. We got time.